This is Freedom ERP with an Above Top Secret member podcast, second in an occasional series of where I'll just have a look at what's going on in the UK, what's affecting people in the UK, what's affecting me in the UK, and maybe also have a look at some of the threads in Above Top Secret that have interested me and grabbed my attention. So let's try and sort of do this in some logical sequence and do a little bit of a sort of news roundup, and I suppose from a sort of political point of view, the big change recently has been we now have Gordon Brown as Prime Minister. He succeeded Tony Blair as leader of the Labour Party, and as Mr. Blair had resigned as Prime Minister, the Queen asked Gordon Brown to form the next government, I suppose, and be the Prime Minister, which we've been some discussions both in the sort of country and on ATS regarding, well, we didn't vote for Gordon Brown, we voted for Tony Blair as Prime Minister. Constitutionally, nothing untoward has happened. The leader of the party with the most seats in the Parliament is asked by the Queen to form the government and be the Prime Minister. Yes, I think we can sit down, many people can sit down and argue and say, well, we didn't actually vote for the Prime Minister. That's just the way the system works. We either live with it, and we have to live with it now, or we have to start talking to our representatives to get them to change that. Realistically, I don't think that's going to happen. But just one of the things I do see with Gordon Brown becoming Prime Minister, he has shaken up the cabinet, brought in a lot of his, you know, personal, you know, people who have helped him personally and people he thinks can do a good job. And one of the things he has done is actually asked people outside of the Labour Party to take on certain roles, typically roles in advising the government, which is probably something of a departure. And if this is the way he's going to run the government, become more open to what other people can bring, then I think that's going to be a good thing. One of the positive things I see is that Gordon Brown appears to be using Parliament as the vehicle for releasing information about policy. He announced a fairly large review, constitutional review, and I think that's probably a good thing. I think it's probably something he wanted to do, sit down and have a look and see, are there some things that we ought to be doing? That review is ongoing. It'd be interesting to see what actually comes out of that one. More interestingly, in Prime Minister's question time, he's used planted questions, obviously, to announce a review of the policy on the super casino that was recently granted to Manchester, and also a review on whether cannabis should be moved from being a Class C to a Class B drug. Those things are interesting. For me, I just think it's interesting that he's taken the time and treated Parliament with respect. Moving on, the second probably big one is the Crown Prosecution Service has said that they intend to offer no charges against anybody for the Cash for Questions investigation. This was an investigation that was started because of comments made by a Scottish Nationalist MP, a investigation that's taken 16 months and cost anywhere between $750,000 to £1 million. That's probably $1.5 to $2 million, and saw the sitting Prime Minister Tony Blair questioned by police on more than one occasion, and some of his closest advisers being questioned, all centering around the fact of whether people who had made donations or loans to the Labour Party had been offered peerages in the upper house of the UK Parliament in return for funding of the party. Fundamentally, it seems that's not actually illegal to do that one. You can offer to put someone forward for a peerage in the upper house. I don't think you can actually guarantee that they would become a peer because they go forward to a committee for review. But it is just interesting that millions of pounds have been spent and there is no one who's going to be charged with this one. Fundamentally, that's probably not a common thing if you think of the number of police investigations that take place and the number of people that are tried. The hit rate is probably fairly low. I just think it's been a huge profile investigation, and there have been leaks probably from
police briefings from the police, it seems that when the police went to investigate people or raid people's homes for documents, the media always seemed to be there. So, yeah, I suppose we just have to look it back and say, yeah, it was an interesting time. It was the first time a sitting prime minister was formally questioned. There's probably something more interesting for us to focus on. And sort of focusing, I suppose, on real current affairs and up to date is the UK has been hit by some fairly brutal storms. Huge amounts of rain have fallen. I was trying to travel back from London to my home in the southwest, which is 105 miles. Took me well over 4 hours to make the trip. So, you know, we are being hammered by huge amounts of rain and the ground is just sodden and too wet. But what interested me was just, you know, major roads in the UK, like the M5, are closed. And allegedly people were on there for hours, had to sleep in their cars overnight. I suppose this is just a more of a ranty stroke view of we just don't seem very capable of reacting to huge storms. If there's a terrorist incident, something like that, we seem to be able to mobilize and react wonderfully. Huge storms, you know, we seem to leave people on motorways. We don't seem to have any coherent plan. So hey, just something I suppose you just got to smile about. You know, we have storms, we have sunshine. I'm sure if it was blazing hot and, you know, up in the sort of 90s, we'd probably be saying it's too hot and we wish it was cooler. Anyway, I know time's moving on, so I wanted to pick up on a couple of threads that I'd seen and have actually responded to and posted on. First one was by Lady of the Lake, which regarded Zimbabwe. For those of you who might be listening who aren't sure where Zimbabwe is, Zimbabwe is in southern Africa and shares at least one border with South Africa and was once part of the Commonwealth and was called Rhodesia for many years, and became Zimbabwe when Robert Mugabe and Joshua Nkomo, I believe, was the other freedom fighter leader, basically convinced the Ian Smith government in Rhodesia that their time was up. And sort of the real reason here is Robert Mugabe is now regarded as a fairly nasty dictator. You know, country is in economic ruin, inflation is running at thousands of percent a year, people are starving, there is no fuel, probably civil and human rights are being regularly abused on all sides, and no one seems that interested. And I think if I read the point of Lady of the Lake's thread was, If this country had natural resources we were interested in, like oil, we'd probably be in there trying to change the regime. I think it's, you know, universally accepted that we didn't go into Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction. Fundamentally, we went in there because they had a resource that we wanted to control, oil. I've got to say, getting rid of Saddam Hussein, no bad thing. Getting rid of Robert Mugabe would be no bad thing either. But just to sort of see that, you know, she's raised a very good point here that from a moral point of view, we have a shocking double standard and hypocrisy here. And I just wanted to bring that to other members' attentions that I think that's something, a thread worth looking at, and that we probably ought to be hassling our representatives to try and improve the situation in Zimbabwe. And the sort of final thread that's interested me is one by Stu Mason, which is sort of regarding Scotland in the UK and going back to the fact that because Scotland has its own parliament, there are certain points or certain areas of policy that are dictated locally, i.e. Scotland can make a decision, whereas in the UK, in England, Wales and Northern Ireland, the full parliament would make decisions. And I suppose the example that Stu's used fairly effectively is on university places. In Scotland, university places are funded by the taxpayer, and because the Scottish Parliament has the ability to vote on that matter itself, no MP from England, Wales or Northern Ireland has voted on that one. However, for university places in England, Scottish MPs
because they are a member of the parliament, actually have the right to vote on whether English students can or cannot get their university places fully funded. In the UK currently they can't get it fully funded, and this sort of just goes back to, and there's a question depending on where you're who you are, it's either called the West Lothian or Mid Lothian question, which goes back to, if you have assemblies and parliaments and then you have a national parliament, should there not be some separation of which MPs can vote on which issues if it doesn't actually affect their country? It's been an interesting debate. I actually have to agree with Stu Mason in his view of where he's going, that I don't believe, if you're a Scottish MP, there are certain issues that I don't believe that you should vote on. That's my view. Anyway, coming up to over 10 and a half minutes. Appreciate everyone taking the time to listen. Would welcome any comments by thread or podcast. And this is Freedom ERP thanking you for your time and hope you have a good day.